Jane Burgermeister recently filed criminal charges with the FBI against the World Health Organization, the United Nations, and several of the highest-ranking government and corporate officials concerning bioterrorism and attempts to commit mass murder. She has also prepared an injunction against forced vaccination, which is being filed here in America. These actions followed her charges filed in April against Baxter AG, Avergreen Greens Hills Biotechnology of Austria for producing contaminated bird flu vaccine, alleging this was a deliberate act to cause and profit from a pandemic. Now, she's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Jane Burgermeister was European correspondent for the website of Renewable Energy World, a position from which she has suddenly was dismissed in July of 2009 after filing a series of criminal charges against Baxter, who and the others alleging bioterrorism with the intent to commit mass murder. Here she is on Coast to Coast. Hi, Jane.
Hi, George.
Now, this situation, so you were working along as the correspondent. All of a sudden, you file these criminal charges against these organizations and groups, and boom, what happened? You lost your job?
Yes, I lost my job. And this kind of brings up the role of the media in what I'm doing as somebody who's worked in for other newspapers like The Guardian, the British Medical Journal, and Nature. I've become aware of how filtered the media is and how it is controlled by certain interests who focus on themes that suit them and leave out other themes that don't suit them. And I think when I drew attention to this whole threat emerging from the vaccines, some people felt uncomfortable with the idea that a journalist with some credentials would be presenting this evidence. And as a result, I was kind of fired from my position, I believe.
Okay, now, Robin, you felt very strongly that we would have Jane on the program tonight. Tell me why.
Well, I owe Jane a big thank you, because when she and an associate of hers had written to Richard through the website to ask for help with this issue, that's when I found out about the petition that was going around to stop mandatory vaccinations, and I contacted you, and I've been interviewing so many people on the forefront about vaccine safety, vaccine health, and what we can do. And, you know, Jane, thank you. You're the lady who initiated all of this. And we're here on Coast now and reaching a bigger audience because George is always working hard to make a difference so we can stop these things.
Jane, tell us what happened, how you decided to file these charges.
Well, I found out that Baxter in Austria contaminated 72 kilos of vaccine material with the live bird flu virus. And if this hadn't been detected by a staff or lab technician in the Czech Republic, it would have gone into the ordinary vaccine material and people would have gotten ill from the vaccines. So a pandemic was almost started this winter, this spring in Europe, by Baxter, and who, the World Health Organization, which is supposed to be protecting us from these pandemics, was the organization that supplied the live bird flu virus to Baxter. There was no investigation. There was very little coverage in the mainstream media. So in a kind of an attempt to force an investigation, I filed criminal charges. And the police here in Austria are investigating the issue. In the meantime, I began researching more and more and finding out more and more things about pandemic plans, the World Health Organization, the legal framework that allows forced mass vaccination to be implemented throughout the world, including the USA, this fall. And the more I learned, the more horrified I was. And then I filed a second set of charges with the FBI at the U.S. Embassy here in Vienna because of the sheer scale of the problem as I did the research. I thought it was just a very, very threatening situation for everybody.
Jane, did they take these charges seriously, law enforcement?
Well, the police in Austria decided to investigate. The process here is that when you submit criminal charges, the state prosecutor can dismiss them or they can order the police to investigate. And the state prosecutor here did order the police to investigate. And my information is that at least three police units are investigating, including the Unit for the Protection of the Constitution and Anti-Terrorism. And I was summoned there for an interview for 2 hours in June. So I believe they're taking it seriously, but they're very powerful people behind Baxter, also in the Austrian government. So that is a factor, I think, that we have to be realistic about. The political pressure on the police not to pursue this will be huge.
Now, why do you believe that this act was deliberate?
Because of the existence of biosafety level 3 regulations in facilities like those in Baxter has at Orson the Donau, these require very, very strict standards when you handle a dangerous virus like the bird flu virus. It has to be kept in its separate sort of lab with double doors and electronic codes and negative pressure. Given the fact that it's almost like Fort Knox in terms of its safety,
yeah.
I mean, you know, how did this virus ever get mixed up with 72 kilos of normal vaccine material? How did it ever get out of this facility without being detected? And how did it manage to get to 16 laboratories without being detected? That implies intention to circumvent all these safety regulations.
Robin, let's bring you in here on this discussion with Jane. What do you think of these charges?
Well, I have the report from ProMed that went out in February 25th, about the Baxter contamination and what was sent out to the Czech laboratories. There's evidence. There's widespread evidence. Jane has documented other areas where, you know, you look at what is going on, and I know you've had so many guests talk about exactly what conditions there are, how clean and how secure these areas must be to prevent contamination. So the idea of an accident doesn't really fly.
Jane, now what do you need to do to keep pushing this issue, this case, if law enforcement decides not to follow through?
What we have to do here in Austria is make the general public aware of what's going on, so that they start to demand that action is taken by the government, which should, after all, be protecting their interests, to ensure the safety of the population. That's what we have to do.
Are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
There you are.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So, yes, get public opinion behind the case here in Austria. The real danger looming, I fear, is the forced vaccinations that are due in the fall. This is what's the big, big problem that's looming on all our horizons, whether you're living in the USA or living here in Austria. There is going to be sort of mass vaccinations coming in the fall, and the option is open to the authorities to make these forced vaccinations. And this could be extremely dangerous because the vaccinations appear to be designed to cause damage and death.
So that's going to be worldwide, the forcing of the vaccinations on so many people.
That's right. It's unprecedented in history. It's an extraordinary event, and it's going to be taking place in every single country in Europe and in the USA and Canada, and I believe in all the 194 member states of the World Health Organization at more or less the same time. It's kind of an unprecedented mass vaccination of the populations with a substance that hasn't been proven and that is actually toxic.
I wonder how far back, Jane, assuming all this is true, they plan this. Because, you know, a good plan takes planning, and they may have tried to create this several years ago through these various stages that we see now. What do you think, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? How smart are they anyway?
Well, I think it's been in the works for decades. The evidence is that WHO in 1972 produced two memorandum where they already outlined how they can turn vaccines into bioweapons or weapons of death. That was in 1972, and the vaccines they're preparing now are modeled on these memoranda. So in my view, they've put in place a kind of a bioweapons complex under our very kind of noses. These vaccine companies double as bioweapons producers, and they have put in place a legislative framework to enable the government to force everybody to take this stuff and to be counted as a criminal if they refuse to take it. People in the USA will be barred from compensation, even if they're damaged or killed as a result of these vaccinations. So they have put in place a lot of necessary blocks to achieve this goal, which we're facing now in autumn over a long period of time.
There's a story in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, one of my hometown newspapers, schools preparing for swine flu outbreaks. So they're getting everybody ready. They're getting everybody up. The vaccine requirements, you have to get the DTP shots, the hepatitis B, the polio shots, the measles, mumps, rubella, chicken pox. I mean, it's crazy. Go ahead, Robin.
Yeah, people still do have the right to refuse vaccinations in the states here. There are religious exemptions. There are even, you know, just conscientious, philosophical exemptions that can be filed. But people need access to this information. The problem is nobody knows what their rights are. That's what the issue is. And as Barbara Fisher was addressing the importance of dealing with this on a state level here in the States, that is where we can be the most effective. But we've got a really short window here because, as you were mentioning, I mean, I get all the news reports, what they're ramping up for the schools here, that once the schools open, they're going to make them into mass vaccination centers.
Well, that's true. And that is a very strange moment it will be. Now, in this case, Jane, what do you think the motive is, money or population control?
I think it's both. I think that they intend to reduce the population drastically, and by doing that, they will get control of the world's natural resources and also WHO and the UN will be the world government under the current pandemic plans. For example, in Austria, WHO takes over the health service and the security service in the event of a pandemic emergency and becomes a de facto government here in Austria. The same occurs, I think, in most European countries. And I understand WHO and the UN also have extraordinary powers over the U.S. health services and security forces in the event of a pandemic emergency being declared under a plan approved by George Bush in 2005. So that most people don't know about it, as I didn't know about it until I started doing the research.
I'm wondering what's in place in Austria and other countries in Europe. Do people have the right to refuse vaccination? Are there exemptions? Are there ways that they can do that?
No, there isn't. As far as I can see here in Austria, there's no right in practice that we will have to refuse this vaccination. They, under the Austrian pandemic plan, they are entitled to force everybody in the population to take this vaccine under the pretext that it's a dangerous kind of, you know, flu, and everybody has to be injected for the safety of you know, the world or whatever. So they seem to have the capacity to impose this on everybody. And in Switzerland, the army is already stocking the vaccine and preparing to administer it to the entire population. The Swiss police already have plans in place to go through the whole registry of people who live in Switzerland and ring up every single person and demand that they appear at this vaccine center at a certain time and take the vaccine, or they'll be put in quarantine. So it's an unprecedented kind of situation where we seem to have very few options. If they choose to escalate it to this level, you know, if they actually choose to go through with this.
Why would they not, Jane?
Well, only if we ourselves now organize and make sure that we have in place sufficient safeguards to stop them, frankly. That's how I see it. And that's why I believe we, all of us, have to now take action to explore the legal options available to us to ensure that we cannot be compelled to be vaccinated with a toxic substance. Support, put in injunctions, file injunctions at the state level or motions to deem this unconstitutional in the USA, inform our law enforcement, inform our military, ask them to examine the evidence that this is, these vaccines are actually bioweapons, and ask them to, not to carry through a plan which could endanger the people of their country. So I believe we have to be proactive to stop this right now.
What's going on in Austria in terms of people and their mood? Are they upset with this, or do they not even know about it?
Most people here just don't know about it. The awareness is much greater already in Germany. They have a bigger alternative media, and that word has spread there quite quickly. Here in Austria, most people still don't know about what's been going on, and they don't know about this option of forced vaccination in autumn.
Would you find, Robin, that most people, once they find out about this, they'd be opposed to it, about getting vaccines?
Once they're educated and they understand the risks, yes, they would be opposed to it. The bottom line is they should have the freedom to make an informed decision.
What do you recommend people do, Robin?
I recommend people use a website like Barbara Lowe Fisher's National Vaccine Information Center. It has. She's been there for 27 years, I believe. There's information about different states, about what you can do, how you can protect yourself. People have got to be educated. And for parents, that they're the guardians for their children's, you know, well-being, for things that will affect the rest of their lives. You have the information that Andrew Molden gave showing pictures of the damage from these vaccines. I mean, when you look at that, you cannot refute what he is showing you. And we just need education. That's the big thing. We need education, and people need to have their rights back. They need to know that that's what this is all about, that, you know, we're supposed to be a country of we the people here, and maybe by example we can help Austria and other countries. If we can stop it here, maybe we can stop it elsewhere.
Jane, what did they say to you when they let you go as European correspondent for that website you worked for?
Well, they didn't really give me a reason. They, at first, it was just a sudden dismissal without a reason. So they have never really given me a reason for why I was let go. But obviously the timing of it strongly suggests that it was related to these charges and the suddenness of it, and without any indication, prior indication of any such dismissal.
Have you been able to get a journalism job, or is it tough for you now because of this?
Well, I've actually been focusing a lot of my energy on trying to move the criminal charges forward. I filed another set of criminal charges a week ago or so in Austria, and just trying to make people aware of what the danger is right now. That's, I think, the priority as far as I can see it. I think this is an imminent problem looming on the horizon, and time and energy that I have at my disposal is best used trying to make people aware of it and take counteractions against it.
Are you doing it all on your own? Do you have an attorney helping you?
Yes, in the U.S. In the meantime, Tim Water is helping, and he filed an injunction and a motion to deem unconstitutional the forced vaccination in the U.S. in a federal court in New Jersey, which I think is a very insignificant step, first step. And in Austria, there is a lawyer who kind of helps now and then. Most lawyers are very reluctant to take on, you know, a powerful corporate, group. But we also have a Facebook group doing great work run by Joanne Kramer and David Matlukas and Dr. Carly, who is an expert in vaccine-induced diseases, is also, doing her bit. So the group is growing and the awareness is exploding.
All right. Well, Robin, let's stick around for some phone calls when we come back, all right?
Okay.
Jane will be with us as well. We'll have final phone calls on our vaccine special in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast show, Stanton Friedman joins us, the father of modern-day ufology. In the next hour, we'll have open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, let's come right back and take phone calls with Jane Burgermeister and Robin Falkov on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, we're with Dr. Robin Falkov and Jane Burgermeister this hour, and we'll take your calls. Let's go to them right now. In Richfield, Connecticut, Rachel, you're up with us. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. I first wanted to say thanks to all three of you and your previous guests for having the courage to be doing this for all of us.
You're welcome.
Robin, you had mentioned the possibility of using religion as an exemption, and I know that could vary with from state to state with the laws, but have you ever actually heard of it being used anywhere for a vaccination exemption, and what religion might I convert to?
Yes, I have heard of it, and we have Len Horowitz, who has made information available for years at his website, tetrahedron.org. You have Ingrid Cassell. I don't remember her site. There are a lot of people out there that will guide you and tell you what you can do. It's whatever your religious belief is or your philosophical belief, there are exemption forms. I believe there might be one or two states that are more difficult. There's a book that I would like to recommend written by a gentleman who's so well informed. I've interviewed him a couple of weeks ago. His name is Neil Miller. And he has written the Vaccine Safety Manual. And he goes through every vaccine step by step, what it does, what the effects are. And he offers a lot of help also. So you can go to people online. I will be compiling this information at my website to make it a little easier so there are links and it will be not as confusing as having to do all those searches yourself.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rachel. Next up, we go to Santa Rosa, California. Toxic Reverend is his name? Is that your name?
Yeah, well, you want my real name? It might cause a real uproar.
Oh, really?
George, thank you so much for doing this show.
Sure.
My God, I've been on this for several months. And Jane, thank you so much for filing those criminal charges. Really, there's a couple of things with this. Oh, one, after your last guest, Universal Life Church, you can ordain yourself for free, too, instantly. I've been ordained to them for a long time. But my one concern also is people become aware of when they're washing their hands, you can cross-contaminate your hands from the faucet when you turn them off. And I was wondering if some of the guests might be kind enough to go in further detail, and I'll take the answers offline. Thank you.
Robin, I guess this would be for you.
Sure, sure. The basic protocol is something that I found horrifying visiting patients in the hospital and watching nurses and doctors that do not observe this. You take the paper towels first, and you put that under your arm. You rip off enough that you need. Then you can turn on the faucet with the hot water and use the soap and lather your hands for a couple of minutes, depending on what you've been exposed to. And that means rubbing your hands together with the soap on it, and then you can rinse it off. Don't touch the faucet. Use the paper towels that are under your arm to turn off the faucet, hold on to them, and open the door from the bathroom where you are and throw out the paper towels outside. That's the best way and the safest way to wash your hands. If you do not have access, there's a wonderful, wonderful product out there made by a company called CleanWell that uses essential oils. It is not toxic. You don't have to worry about your baby accidentally drinking it or your dog. It will not harm them, and it comes in a spray, comes in hand wipes, and they are small enough to carry with you. It was in my pocket when Richard and I were climbing the pyramids in Mexico and Guatemala.
Oh, yes, for that NBC sci-fi special.
Yes.
And it's
yes.
Still slated for November?
It's all set, and after the Tesla conference, there's some incredible new information that is being looked at.
Jane, what's home for you? Austria?
Yes, that's where I live, yep.
Generally, what's the mainstream media like out there?
To be honest, the U.S. is more advanced in the sense there's more variety, and the so-called alternative media is much, much stronger and bigger in the USA than it is here. The mainstream media in Austria is very, very controlled, and people are not even aware of the extent to which it is controlled and filtered yet. So, as I say, it's different in countries like Germany and Poland and France. But here in Austria, it's kind of pretty sleepy, to be honest.
Not as bad as Venezuela, though, I hope.
I hope not. I mean, I have no idea what Venezuela is like. But here, there's very little information coming out in the mainstream media about this whole problem or area.
Next up, let's go to Bloomington, Indiana, east of the Rockies. We've got you, Deborah. Go ahead.
Hello. George, first I have to tell you that you're precious.
Oh, thank you, Deborah.
You are just precious to all of us out here. And Barbara and Jane, thank you. Thank God for you. I want to say I hope this national health insurance program's up and running before they start mass immunizing school children. That's going to be interesting. My question was asked by a previous caller. I was really concerned about how you would substantiate the sensitivity to vaccines. For instance, my daughter, a 21-year-old pre-med student, developed severe Raynaud's syndrome after the first of the three shot series of the Gardasil. And, of course, no doctor would admit that, but, I mean, she developed it within 2 months after she had the first shot. So I'm, especially after hearing Dr. Molden, I'm thinking maybe that is a connection. But so, you know, she could maybe claim a religious
exemption
or something. But her school has already notified us. Her private school college has told us it's going to be required this fall.
But you can document what she has experienced in the past, and there's enough information out there that will support what you're saying. This is not something that, you know, nobody's heard about. There are many, many cases of you know, even death. And if she has reacted, you do not want to expose her to that vaccine because it could literally be deadly.
But, you know, doctors are so skeptical. I mean, they just refuse to ever admit there's any connection. And I know the school's going to fight us on it. I know I know I'm not going to even be able to get a doctor to say it.
Well, you, as I was mentioning before, I will be putting up links on my website. There are doctors that will help. There are organizations that will help. And the idea of nationalized health care, that, you know, might not be the big benefit that everyone is thinking it will be, because that might just tie in with making all of this mandatory.
Right, and with no repercussions.
Well, we already have no repercussions. So this is up to everybody to speak up and fight. Fight it on your state level, organize your communities, and we can take action and we can make sure that we are protected.
Has anybody tried to sue state school boards or the education department or anything about these forced vaccinations?
Gosh, you know, I've heard about that years ago. I don't know of anything recently. But I can check into that.
Okay. Next up, we go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, on the wild card line. Hey, Steve, go ahead.
Okay, thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
First comment and then a two-part question. The comment would be, if they're going to force vaccinations, I'd say all the politicians need to line up and take their injections first.
I like the way you think.
And on the flu and tetanus, do they fall under this, under these immunizations that could possibly be grown in animals, or does that, are they still doing that, where there could be a cross jumping from animals to humans?
Well, one of the new flu vaccines, you're going to really like this one. It's being grown in caterpillars.
Okay.
You know,
is that dangerous?
I don't think it's safe. I you have many crossover diseases now that I think tie in directly with what has been grown and put into people's bodies. So I don't think those are safe practices. I don't think any of this is safe.
My doctor keeps pressing me to take a tetanus booster. Is is that does that fall under this?
That's something not harmful? Mandatory. It's not mandatory to take a tetanus booster, and it's a matter of choice. Do your research and then form your own opinion. There are instances where someone can get tetanus. It's very, very rare.
Okay. Is the vaccines given in the 50s and 60s, are they safer than the ones they give today?
Oh, gosh. You know, the potency of the vaccines back then were not as strong as what or, you know, the vaccines that are being given to newborn babies and the amounts of vaccines, but you had the polio vaccine that was grown on the monkey kidney cells, and you had the latent polyomavirus, which caused cancers later on in life, and many other neurological and immune diseases. It's just not something to put in your body. Not the way it is.
Well, the way I understood it, he was telling the guest before, your immune system determines what kind of reaction you're going to have, right?
Well, and if you maintain your immune system, you maintain your health, and then when you're exposed to different situations where other people are ill, you don't contract these same conditions. So
right.
the best thing everybody can do is prevention.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Steve. Next up, Terry in Rochester, New York. You're up with us. Hi, Terry. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
This is mostly for Barbara, and it's in response for the Gardasil injections. I work for a doctor.
Okay, Barbara's not with us.
Okay.
It's
hopefully
Jane
the
and
other
Robin.
People can speak of it then.
Okay.
I work for a doctor here in Rochester, and we're starting to find a coincidence, is what they want to call it, of course, of some of our patients are showing up with polycystic ovary syndrome, and even we've had at least one with MS, recently diagnosed, a very young woman with MS, and I'm wondering if anyone else is finding that also. I'm worried that my daughter who had the injection is going to develop this. She has some of the symptoms already of it, and that we may be raising a generation or two of women who are going to be infertile or have fertility problems that are going to increase the healthcare costs later on, all because they want to give these little girls at age 9 these shots.
Has she
and I'm
completed,
just wondering what people think about it.
Has she completed the full course of the vaccination for Gardasil?
Unfortunately, yes, she has. And so have these other girls. And these are the only things that we're finding consistent with all these girls is that they all have had the Gardasil shots, and their symptoms are starting to arise approximately 6 months after receiving their third injection, usually. Some are starting as early as their second injection.
You can go to NVIC, National Vaccine Information Center.org,
mm-hmm.
and there is a place at the top of the page where you can report adverse reactions.
Right.
There are multiple other websites where you can go. You can find a good homeopath. You can find an orthomolecular physician. You know, you're playing a back game once the vaccinations have been given. But there are things that can be done that will help mediate the symptoms and help restore each individual's immune system.
Okay.
It's complicated, and it's not short-term, but there are things that can be done.
Are they finding that these are some of the things that are happening from this shot?
Definitely. They're finding even more extreme situations where these young girls are dying from blood clots, you know, just dropping dead several days later.
And why aren't the parents being told this or given anything when you go to the pediatrician and they say, we're recommending the shot?
Well, it's up to you as a parent. You're calling this show. You're a well-informed lady. You can look online and you can demand your rights. And that's what everyone has to do. Everyone has to speak up. Wake up your neighbors, your friends, be active in the PTA. Get everybody organized and put an end to it.
So definitely get the word out there.
Definitely, please.
Okay.
All right, Terry,
thank you.
Appreciate it. Robin, where do you all go next with this campaign?
Gosh, Well, we're hoping for help from attorneys on state levels to be able to get things set in motion that if laws are passed, we can stop them. And basically, this is a wake-up call for people to join together on a community level, network on bigger levels, because we have strength in numbers and we can make a change. And we've got you, George. We've got you to get the information out.
Well, I'm not going to stop at all. How about you, Jane? What do you keep doing? You're going to just keep this push?
I agree with what Robin was saying, that we can use many viable legal means to stop forced vaccinations and stop these vaccinations on a federal and a state level. And people should avail of the legal channels that are open to them to make sure that they're never in a situation where they're forced to take a vaccine that is actually most likely going to cause them a great deal of harm in the period of time that is still left to us to put those blocks in place. And we should inform as many people as we can and alert them to the potential threat, because there is tremendous power in numbers and in knowledge and awareness.
Yes, and you have done incredible work, Jane. It's just once things get into the court system, it doesn't happen overnight. That's, you know, we're waking people up, and just by the power of what you have done and the massive information you've collected, hopefully that will motivate people on a community level while this works itself out in the courts. But we don't really have time to wait for the courts to handle it.
Okay, let's go to Harbor, Oregon, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Ben.
Hi. My question is to ask how you might guide us to most vigorously resist the population reduction. That is to say, how do we cut the head off the snake that is trying to kill us?
Well, how do you do that? I guess through the legal means. That's about it, Robin. What can you do?
Well, that's the beginning, but as I was saying, how long do legal cases take?
A long time.
Yeah.
By that time, these vaccines are out. They're forcing you to take them and everything.
Can I just say, I understand that it's possible when you put in an injunction that you're granted a temporary injunction until the judge makes a permanent decision. So it's possible, if this works, that the judge will say, until I've seen all the evidence and made a permanent decision, these vaccines cannot be distributed. So you don't need to actually wait for the judge to make a final decision for it to come into effect. I understand that's the situation.
Is your effort just in Austria, Jane, or would it be for worldwide?
Oh, well, this effort is actually for the USA. It's a federal level
okay.
court.
All right.
And an injunction which would, as far as I know, already create a temporary injunction while the judge is considering the evidence. So I believe it is worthwhile filing even now at your state level or your in other federal courts, because you can get a temporary injunction.
That would be a gutsy judge,
very, very
huh?
Soon. Yes.
Yeah. And that has to be done at a state level here, because that was what was explained earlier by Barbara Fisher. The federal law will not go into, or at least it has not as of yet, made that, you know, forcible. We can have protection on a state level, and if everybody joins together and gets injunctions on a state level, then we have a hope.
Well, Jane.
Yes, I urge people to look at the website safetylawsuits.com, because the lawsuit that has been prepared could help people to prepare their own injunction rapidly and file it at their state courts and get them in quickly. You know, and I understand the whole procedure is sort of laid out. You have to adapt it to the individual state. You have to check your individual laws, and you can get it in quite quickly with the help of this existing template.
Okay, we'll keep pounding away, you two. Thank you, Jane and Robin. Thank you for putting this panel together. Dr. Robin Felkov, all their websites linked up at coasttocoastam.com. When I come right back, we've got an hour now of open lines, just you and me right here on Coast to Coast AM.